The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. A group of world-renowned doctors in the mental health field, who are also longtime friends, and together they had over 200 years of combined experience and had published over 2,300 journal articles. Well, they got frustrated as their careers were ending because there were no major advancements in the mental health field in more than 30 years and no significant technological advancements. So they decided to do something about it. They created some tools, one M3 Clinician and the other What's My M3, are tools to assess depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and PTSD. Today, Dr. Bob Post will tell us all about the tools and how they can help mental health consumers and those who treat them. Then in the second half, Henry Acosta, a mental health consumer and a mental health provider, will tell us how this tool helped him assess his own situation. So let's hear what Dr. Post has to say. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Bob Post, and he has created a very interesting tool that I wished I had when I was working with all my bipolar clients. So tell us, Dr. Post, what is What's My M3?
Yeah, it's both a screening and follow-up device. It's for medical monitoring of mood.
Okay.
And we developed it because so many patients go see their medical doctors and the doc doesn't have time to get around to asking about their psychological health. And it's such a big issue that we thought if patients could complete this screening and present the data to the doc, it would make a huge difference in getting their symptoms treated eventually.
Now, you say we. Was this the NIH that did this, or you and some partners?
With some partners. This was actually pretty much after I left the NIMH. But while I was at the NIMH, we did a life chart method for bipolar patients that the patients found extremely helpful, and we sort of modeled some aspects of this M3 on that same life chart method.
Okay. What does M3 stand for?
Medical monitoring of mood.
Okay.
With the idea that if one could come up with not only a good screening device, but a device that provided numbers about how good someone's mood was, that would make a difference, because everybody knows their blood pressure and their cholesterol, but up to now, no one's really had a mood number.
So this could be on the same level as the pain scale that they use in hospitals.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that makes a huge difference. I'm often surprised when I use that pain scale or also a 0 to 10 anxiety scale, either how low or high somebody's pain and anxiety is. It's rather remarkable. It's very important to quantitate this not only to get at how distressed the patient is, but then to assess how well they're responding to treatment.
Mm-hmm. And what we would label somebody at a certain number might not be where they would see themselves.
Right. There's usually a pretty good correlation, but having the patient provide these data saves the doctor a huge amount of time, and it can start the conversation about how to deal with the mood and anxiety issues better in a general practice setting, because we now know that virtually every medical illness is more difficult to treat if someone is depressed or anxious.
Right. And so many of the medical illnesses have the component of depression, so you don't know which came first.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's a subjective test. It's one that the patient themselves take?
Yeah, they take it, and it's also been validated, however, against an interview method. So we know that it screens patients for the likelihood that they have depression and anxiety disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and also bipolar disorder, importantly. Mm-hmm. So there's some pretty good screening questions. It only takes 2 minutes for the patient to do. It also asks about impaired functioning based on these symptoms, and also about alcohol and substance use. So it's a very quick screen, but it covers a wide territory.
Mm-hmm. How does the patient get access to the test? Do they have to go somewhere? Can they get it offline? How do they access it?
Well, we originally designed it for patients to do in the doc's waiting room.
Oh.
But now there's all kinds of ways that they can get it online. On their My Mood Monitor, it'll show up, and they can have free access to it themselves, and also do it in a longitudinal, repeated way to assess whether what they're doing to try to treat these symptoms is working well or not.
Okay. So if they do this, if they go online and they access it, can they then print it out to take it with them to their doctor?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And is there an explanation with it online that tells them this means you need to go see your doctor right away, or, oh, this is a mild situation, or this is situational?
Yes, it actually gives a percent likelihood that that they have a mood or anxiety or bipolar disorder, and so that it encourages them to kind of seek help when the likelihood is increased, yes.
Okay. Now, what I've noticed is when people are severely depressed, their handwriting is very tiny and very hard to read. So I don't know if that would show up, you know, online it may not, but if they print it off and take it into their doctor, the doctor may notice that as well. And that might not be consistent with everybody, but that was my observation.
Yeah, that often happens. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like they're trying to disappear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the other nice thing about this. It's a specific set of questions, and it doesn't depend on how well one's handwriting looks in terms of getting the answers out.
Okay. And do you think that the people who take the test are being honest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I think generally they are. People usually are reluctant to discuss some of the psychiatric problems in a medical setting.
Mm-hmm.
But when we've asked patients about this, they're comfortable in doing it. And in many instances, patients are more likely to give accurate answers to a computer than they are to a person asking.
Okay. Does it ask about suicidal ideation?
Yes, that's one of the questions.
And if, you know, in certain states, if you admit you're suicidal, that could get you, in Florida, it's Baker Act, or, you know, committed. So is that an issue? If people are honest about that, do you have anything?
It's structured in such a way that that it doesn't have that problem associated with it.
Okay.
It suggests that somebody get help depending on the severity of their suicidal ideation.
Okay. Now, who interprets what the test means? I mean, is it the doctor that does that, or can the person do it themselves?
Well, it's sort of a combination, because basically the total score runs from 0 to about 100.
Oh.
And the higher the number, the more likely the person has significant problems. But, yeah, it's a screening instrument that the doctor uses in helping him make the a proper diagnosis and suggest treatments, which he can initiate himself or refer the patient out.
Okay. So often the primary care physician is not willing to prescribe antidepressants. You know, they want to refer them somewhere else. So will this make it more possible for the family care, primary care physician to feel comfortable making that initial prescription? Because it might take a month or more to get in to see a psychiatrist or psychologist that can prescribe medications.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And dealing with the depression in the context of these medical disorders has been shown over and over again to be crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's studies that if somebody has a stroke and they're treated with an antidepressant, whether or not they have a history of depression, not only does the stroke improve faster, the symptoms are less severe, but the person actually lives longer. So getting after depression in the context of treating diabetes or pain syndromes or any of these illnesses makes a huge difference. It turns out that actually primary care physicians are among the largest prescribers these days of antidepressants, and this will facilitate their being able to judge accurately whether to go ahead and give antidepressants as the first line treatment, or if the person screens positive for bipolar, antidepressants are not FDA approved for that indication, and people need to go to lithium mood stabilizers and the atypicals. So making the proper diagnosis is really a key issue.
Okay. That's a very good point, because primary care doctors have to know so many different areas a little bit and everything. So the other factor I would wonder about is if the patient really needs immediate help, is there something on the website that says if you score this, you need to call your crisis hotline or call your doctor first thing in the morning? I mean, is there anything that tells them of the value of you need immediate attention?
Yeah, it suggests a whole variety of options like that, and there are some helplines that are indicated and other resources so that they can either get back to their own primary care physician or try to get into some of the other treatment options that are involved.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break at this point. When we come back, we'll talk about some more specifics, okay?
Okay, thanks very much. Pleasure talking with you, Dr. Melanie.
Thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking about this mental health screening tool called What's My M3. It has become the number one iTunes downloaded application for depression, and people from 160 countries have already used it. So let's hear more of what Dr. Post has to say about it. I'm back here with Dr. Bob Post, who created a survey that's called What's My M3, and it's a screening. And explain to the listening audience again, what is the screening do? What's its purpose?
It's a quick checklist that patients can do and bring this list to their primary care physicians or even medical specialist physicians that helps them deal with the issues of their mood, anxiety, possible post-traumatic stress disorder or bipolar disorder, these kinds of symptoms in the context of their other medical illnesses. Because often doctors are so busy that they don't get a chance to ask someone about their mental health. So this brings those issues to the fore. It's a very quick screen, about 23 items, takes just a few minutes to do. And with this, you can bring it to the doctor, start the conversation, but you can also take this repeatedly so that you can follow your progress and clinical improvement. Mm-hmm. So it's like getting a number for a blood pressure or cholesterol. It helps you and the physician look at the long-term outcomes.
Right. And I used to have my clients do that. We'd keep like a journal, and we'd go back because I would see them long-term. We'd compare, okay, spring is your time you get depressed. You know, what can we do ahead of spring? Maybe talk to your psychiatrist about upping your medication just to get you through that initial. Because also the daylight hours really, really affected people. Go ahead.
That's a key element to have that kind of longitudinal monitoring. And mm-hmm. just as you're saying, you can look at patients' time of increased vulnerability. Some people have seasonal affective disorder where they get more depressed in the winter. Other bipolar patients tend to have more problems in the spring and the fall. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is having those problems, just as you're saying, addressing what they can do about them, not only with medications, but with different strategies to reduce the stress involved, is actually very critical.
Mm-hmm. And often we'd look at, okay, what are some non-pharmaceutical things you can do? Like the Lux lighting in the wintertime, some people would get that special lighting and sit under it to help them with their depression. So there's things you can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes just reducing some of the stress involved and having ways of coping better with the stress can make it much less impactful.
Mm-hmm.
They've done studies in animals that become helpless if they are exposed to an inescapable shock. But if the animal presses a lever, it doesn't get depressed. But it has to know that it can cope, because if the anesthetize its frontal cortex, it gets depressed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So just the idea that somebody knows that they can cope and has some options and ways of dealing with things can make a huge difference in somebody's mood.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you make certain that the physicians that these clients, patients are taking these scored sheets to know what it means and the value of it and what to do with it? Do you have training sessions for primary care physicians? Are you educating them?
Well, most physicians have a pretty good idea about some of the subtleties of the diagnosis, but this device gives you a readout with the percent likelihood that somebody has the specific diagnosis, and there's also a set of numbers from 0 to 100 that give you a pretty good measure of severity. So the higher the number, the more severe the symptoms and the more likely that patient is to need treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of assists both the patient and the doctor in terms of thinking about treatment modalities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hopeful that you doing this interview, you can use it, and it will be rebroadcast many times, so it'll get the word out to those that need to know about it, and it will get more hits for people to go look for this test, so this screening. So that will be very helpful.
Yeah, it's already being used in more than 100 different countries, so it's very widely distributed as easy to use but also validated scale. Most of the other screening instruments just screen for one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
This has the advantage of screening for a whole variety of psychiatric diagnoses, from depression to bipolar to PTSD and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Can a family member do the survey based on their observation of a loved one?
We didn't specifically validate it for that,
okay.
But I think it would be a good thing to do, because
mm-hmm.
often sometimes patients are so depressed that they're feeling hopeless and don't think anything can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, if a family member came up with a pretty good approximation, I think that would be helpful in motivating the patient, encouraging them to get treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Often a family member is critical in terms of encouraging patients to get some intervention.
Yes.
The same on the manic side. If somebody's hypomanic and euphoric and feeling that they can accomplish anything in the world, sometimes they need extra encouragement to kind of get that under control before they have a full-blown episode.
Yeah, and then when you know the crash is coming, that the mania
yeah.
is going to end and the depression's going to come back around, that can be so exhausting for the family members.
Oh, boy, that's for sure.
And the other thing I often see is when people would come to me, they'd say, you know, I ache all over. And I don't know what's wrong with me. And I say, well, depression can actually hurt, because isn't it true that like 80% of your serotonin is made in your gut?
Yeah, and there's all sorts of linkages between mood and pain.
Mm-hmm.
The amygdala is part of the emotional part of the brain, but it also regulates a lot of different pain syndromes, and we know that there's a pretty direct relationship between severity of depression and severity of pain, and this goes across a lot of different kinds of illnesses. And even people with mania have more bodily aches and pains and concerns than they would usually.
Mm-hmm.
So the mood disorders are highly linked to body function. And one of the things that people don't realize is that depression is, in fact, not all in one's head.
Right.
It's an involvement of the brain and the body. There's all sorts of changes in the body, such as inflammation, changes in cytokines, changes in a variety of endocrine substances, like patients usually secrete high levels of cortisol when they're depressed, the stress mm-hmm. hormone.
Right.
So the whole body is involved in these illnesses and not just the brain.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, if you're in a fight or flight mode and you can't escape, you know, a stressful kind of situation, you might not realize that you're getting depressed, and it may show up as a physical kind of symptom that you don't recognize it's depression.
Yep, that happens a lot too.
Mm-hmm. So if physicians or patients want more information, you talk about a newsletter that you do. What is that?
Yeah, I put out a quarterly newsletter. It's available online called bipolarnews.org.
Okay.
Its focus is on bipolar illness, but there's lots in there about depression and anxiety. And I tend to update patients and physicians about the latest information in the field. It gets mailed to about 9,000 households, but we get many tens of thousands of hits on the newsletter because I try to write about things that are coming along that are new even before they're published. Mm-hmm. Like I had an article about a substance that people can buy in the health food store called N-acetylcysteine,
mm-hmm.
which can help mood, but also can help a variety of habits, including substance abuse addiction, gambling addiction, pulling your hair out, called trichotillomania.
Right.
And this substance, which people can buy over the counter, seems to have a lot of positives and very few side effects. So I wrote about that more than 2 years ago, even though some of the data has been published more recently on this. So it's a fairly sophisticated article, and people can pick and choose about the things that they want to read about.
Well, that's wonderful. So I'm going to say to our listening audience, if they have specific questions that they want directed to you, if they will send them to me, then I will forward them on to you. And that way, if it's a professional wanting information, then you can choose how you want to respond to that. Would that work?
Yeah, that would work fine.
All right. Well, thank you very much for creating this and helping us to get educated that this tool is available. So I hope that this tool will become a household kind of resource for many, many people. So thank you for doing this and for being on my show today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Melanie. Appreciate you getting interested in this. It can help make a big difference in patients' lives.
Yes, it can. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792.
That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We've been talking about a 3-minute mental health screening tool called What's My M3? It's a tool to assess depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and PTSD. It provides a number like your blood pressure or cholesterol to improve the treatment of mental health diseases. Well, now Henry Acosta, mental health consumer and mental health provider, is going to tell us his own personal experience using this tool. Let's hear what he has to say. Listeners, I have with me Henry Acosta, who is not only a mental health consumer, or has been, but he's also in the mental health field. So welcome, Henry.
Welcome, Dr. Melanie. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you because we talked briefly off the phone about the stigma that's attached to somebody being a mental health consumer, and we're trying to take that stigma away.
And I think that's a very important area that needs a lot more attention in our nation. Unfortunately, as you and I had discussed offline, mental illness doesn't discriminate, and studies clearly show that about 25% of Americans suffer a mental health issue severe enough to require professional help at any point in time in a year. Unfortunately, many individuals do not seek treatment for a variety of reasons, but stigma does play a major role in those decisions to not seek treatment.
Yeah, and often people say, oh, just snap out of it, you'll be okay, or, you know, you're just having a bad day, or if you had more faith, or if you prayed about it, you'd get better. Well, that's not true.
That is such a good point, and my area of focus in the mental health, as a mental health provider, is addressing disparities that exist for racial and ethnic minorities, and in the Latino and African-American community, that they tend to even utilize services less than the Caucasian population. You know, it's about 1 out of every 11 Latinos who has a problem actually seeks care, and when they do seek care, it's traditionally through a clergy or a general practitioner. And unfortunately, if you have a chemical imbalance, no amount of prayer, no amount of meditation is going to change that. You may need a combination of psychiatric medication or as well as therapy to get you through your problem. So, yeah, there is a lot of stigma. There are a lot of cultural barriers that prevent people from seeking help.
Mm-hmm. And I, in my lifetime, have had to have help with depression because I have immune issues. Problems, immune system problems, and it affects, you know, your neurotransmitters, and I have had depression upon occasion, and I didn't want to seek help, but when I did and I felt better, I'm glad that I did. So I hope that the listening audience will take a look at this survey that we're going to talk about and maybe assess for themselves, maybe I really do have a need to see somebody.
And that's actually a great point that you said that, because sometimes people don't realize how severe the problem is. You mentioned, oh, maybe I'm having a bad day, or maybe a bad week, or, oh, wow, it's a bad month, and next thing you know, it's a bad 10 years. Mm-hmm. I have suffered from depression since the age of 16 and have, on many occasions, used that same thinking, you know, I'll get through this, and have suffered some major consequences from not getting help early enough because I really wasn't attuned to how severe the impairment was in my functioning because of the depression. And I think this screening tool that you and I will be talking about is a wonderful addition to an array of items that are out there for one to seek help, and especially for those that are concerned about information being anonymous and not being certain, that the screening tool will allow them an opportunity to gauge if it's severe enough to require professional intervention.
Mm-hmm. And I often told my clients, especially the bipolar patients, if you get sick and you have an infection and you're going on an antibiotic or a steroid, that's going to interfere with your psychotropic meds. And your doctors might not think about that, but I'm telling you they do. So while you're on this medication, be aware. You might have a mental health crisis, but it's not come to stay. it's come to pass, but you might need to increase your medications if your psychiatrist or psychologist or primary care physician knows it and says to do that.
Yep, and that is actually a very valid concern. And there are studies that clearly show that people who have diabetes or cardiovascular disease or other health conditions also have comorbidity for depression and anxiety. And Latinos, for instance, are a group that are overrepresented in the diabetes cases, so they're most are likely to have susceptibility to depression and anxiety. So it's very important for individuals from those groups to be aware of those. And the second thing is individuals from minority communities tend to self-medicate with natural or remedies from their home countries. And no matter if they're natural or not, they may interfere with other medications that they're taking that could really have a negative impact on any of their mental health condition.
Right, just like you're not supposed to drink grapefruit juice when you take some antidepressant medications. Certain things do not work well together.
Yes.
So let's talk about this What's My M3, this online test. When did you first find out about it?
Actually, I first found out about it probably about 5 to 6 months ago. It was earlier this year. I got a phone call from one of the representatives from the organization as they were working on releasing the screening tool, developing and then subsequently releasing the screening tool and the application for an iPhone Android in Spanish language. They reached out to me in my capacity as an executive of a national Latino mental health organization to see if I would be able to review the item and give them my input. At this time, the person who reached out to me was not even aware that I was a consumer, and I had been really undergoing a lot of stressors at this time and was just pretty much trying to keep everything together because I just couldn't afford to take any time off because there's so many time-sensitive deadlines. However, I knew something was wrong. I knew that I needed to get help. So after the phone call, I took the screening tool, and I was very honest with the answers and that I provided, being that it was anonymous and, the only person I was going to be lying to and cheating was myself. And I feel like I've already lied and cheated to myself for many, many years and have suffered too many consequences by doing that. So I actually went and took the tool, and it really opened up my eyes to the need for help at that moment.
And help can be in the form of cognitive therapy or a change in medication, because after all, sometimes medications stop being effective.
Yes, for some people they do become ineffective, and there are a combination of things out there. Not everyone who has a mental health condition requires medication. It could be psychotherapy, as you mentioned, cognitive behavior therapy or adaptive behavior therapy. There's a whole range of evidence-based practices out there. For me, it was just a wake-up call to take the test and score as high as I did in the areas. It really was a wake-up call that it was time for me to pick up the phone and get back into a therapy. I hadn't seen my therapist in several months, and what, like I said, was undergoing a lot of stress from some possible health issues, and that just really triggered a lot of things for me. I was having difficulty sleeping and just concentrating and so many other things, and taking the screening tool really helped me to realize, yeah, this is bad. And I then, picked up the phone, called my former therapist, scheduled an appointment, went in to see her, and actually shared the results with her. And unfortunately, she had not heard of the screening tool, though she found it very helpful and informative, and it was very insightful because it's very brief. 27 questions. You can do it within 3 minutes. But the main point I think that was helpful is that it really highlighted what were the areas that were of concern. And for me, it was the disturbances with the sleep, the changes in eating habits, the engagement not in alcohol or drugs, but in another addiction in mind, it manifests the depression and gambling. And even though that question is not on the screening tool, it's similar to answering yes or no on alcohol or drugs because they both are an addiction. And it really helped me to look at where the disturbances were, put a plan together with my therapist around that, and find some, you know, some solutions before it turns into a crisis.
So it became a proactive tool for you to use before you had a crisis with your job, you know, not being able to go to work because of depression or guilt or shame. And so it was helpful in many ways.
Yeah, I haven't been in the hospital, in a psychiatric hospital, since I was 16 when I was hospitalized with a depression and a suicide attempt. And I will honestly say several months ago, I was at that verge where I was within less than a quarter of an inch to checking into a psychiatric hospital and, you know, just not wanting to be alive, not seeing any joy in anything, just from a combination of things going on in life. And, but I didn't want, I could not just stop and take a break because, as I mentioned, I had a lot of work responsibilities, and there was no one there to fill in for them, and there were time-sensitive things that I had to plan and coordinate. And taking this tool really helped me to see, wow, it is really that serious. And at least I picked up the phone, got in to see the therapist, was able to create a plan for both safety as well as for getting through the next couple weeks that I unfortunately could not afford to take time off to handle my mental health, but we handled it in a different way. And it got me through, and it definitely was a life changer for me, realizing it, because I've always wondered, well, you know, is it just depression, or is it bipolar, or is it anxiety, is it post-traumatic? Mm-hmm. I've always wondered, you know, have these doctors gotten it right? Because, you know, I've seen psychiatrists throughout the years, and, you know, more people from the general population are like, you're bipolar, you're always, you know, high in life and all this. And when I see psychiatrists, they're like, no, you're not bipolar. If it's working for you, you know, you're very successful in your occupation, in your career. But at the back of my mind, I'm like, if I wasn't that or something more than just depression, I wouldn't be doing half the stuff that I do. So I've always questioned it. And then taking that scale, and as it assesses four different mood disorders, the depression, anxiety, PTSD, as well as bipolar, it really helped me at least to get an initial gauge on what was up and to have that for discussion with my provider.
All right, well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what happened after.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
Sounds great.
Thank you,
Dr. Mellon.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope. Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. This What's My M3 tool is good for patients to learn what their diagnosis is and for their doctors to know if the way they're treating them is the correct way and to monitor any changes. Let's hear more about what happened to Henry after he used the tool. I'm back here with Henry Costa, and we're talking about, he is a mental health consumer and also a mental health provider, and he used a screen called What's My M3. And before the break, we were talking about, you always wondered, you know, did you have something different than what your mental health providers diagnosed you as? So when you did the screening, what did you find out?
Well, it actually confirmed what the provider who I had been seeing had told me it was, which was depression. I had mentioned, you know, professionals and other colleagues and friends who know me have always said, I think you're bipolar, and, you know, because you're always full of energy and so forth. And that was always a concern to me, because actually for me and for many, you know, depression is, I guess, less stigmatizing and more acceptable in our society than someone who has bipolar, because individuals with bipolar sometimes are viewed, oftentimes are viewed inaccurately, are seen as, you know, irresponsible because they're in manic phases and they spend and do all these unhealthy things or things that are labeled as crazy by the Latino population. Oh, you know, they run around naked and they do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, no, that's not what bipolar individuals do. But that is, unfortunately, a myth and a stigma that exists out there. So I was always afraid to really have that label, even though I had that's come up on numerous occasions. The screen did confirm depression, that it was 90% likelihood of suffering from depression, and a high also high for anxiety, and also a third possibility of PTSD, which I had also wondered about because I used to be a volunteer firefighter and had worked September 11th, the ground zero, for about 3.5 weeks, and you know, have definitely some issues around that. And, you know, you can't forget what you saw. You can't forget what you heard, seen, smelled, or anything from those days. And that's something that, you know, an experience I rarely even talk about anymore. So I always wondered, my significant impairments in my life have really started over the last 10 years with the addiction that I was talking about earlier. So I always wondered if it was related to the September 11 or if it was related to a divorce and so forth. So never knew really which was the diagnostic correct diagnostic category. So the screening tool, you know, pretty much concurred with what my therapist had always put in, that she thought it was depression and that everything else was a symptom of the depression.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because if it was a diagnosis of bipolar, antidepressants are not what they recommend. So you might have been on the wrong medication.
Yeah.
And no telling also with what toxicities you inhaled when you were working at Ground Zero and how that can affect your body as well.
Yeah, and that's also something that, like I said, it's been in my mind for years, because I never had that problem until after September 11th is when everything for me, my whole life has changed. I've gained 120 pounds since then. You know, but there's been a lot of other stuff. There was a divorce. There was that. There was a change in job, and I love what I do, but boy, is this job hectic. And so there's been a combination of factors. So it's always been hard to know. It's just, is it just, again, the depression? Is it just, you know, the confounding variables from everything else going on in life, or is it just that things have gotten worse? And, you know, so this screening tool has helped me to not only to again, accept that the problem was severe enough to go back in to help. As I mentioned, I seriously was considering checking myself into the hospital, but I couldn't afford to take that time. And then I'm like, you know what, it'll pass, it'll pass. I'll get through this. You know, I'm not a quitter. I'm a survivor. I have to do my part, which is, you know, part of our cultural belief and the self-reliant attitude. And instead, you know, I winded up taking it, recognizing how severe the impairment was at the time and the need for help. And I'm so happy that I got that phone call and that I had this opportunity to take the screening tool, because it really, like I said, changed in the last several months. I have retaken the tool to assess where I was, and the last time I took it was just last week, and my score was a little less than half of what it was just several months ago. And that's because my therapist and I have been able to work on the areas that were impaired, you know, the sleep, the eating, you know, we've been, the look at some of the underlying issues and some of the concern and put a plan around that. And the more sleep that I've gotten, the better I have felt, mm-hmm. you know, being able to write things down and take one thing at a time versus letting everything get so overwhelming. These were all things that I wouldn't have had a discussion with anyone in the past if it wasn't that I took the scale and saw how serious that the problems were at this time.
What I find interesting is we ourselves treat a mental health issue different than a physical, a true physical or just physical issue. If you had had a heart condition, you would have made the time off because it would have been life-threatening perhaps. But when we look at a mental health issue, we think, oh, well, I can still function.
Well, again, I think it's less stigmatizing in our society to be able to take time off and be like, oh, you know what, I have, you mentioned a heart issue, you know, just a couple years ago I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. So, you know, I've had several hospitalizations over the last several years. So it's been easy to say, you know what, I had some chest pains and I went to the hospital, but it's a different story to say, you know what, I was depressed and I had to go into the hospital because I was having thoughts of hurting myself because I run a nonprofit and, you know, there's fear that funders or fear that, you know, collaborative partners will not want to work with you because they're not going to look at you in the same light. Mm-hmm. But those are the types of things that need to be fought against in our society and proven wrong that, you know, people that do have a problem are still successful. They can still contribute to quality of life and to solving today's problems for our society if we work correctly and we have the right support systems in place.
True. And a testimony to you doing things and being respected is some award you're about to get. Tell our listening audience what that is.
Well, I have, I've been very fortunate and blessed to work in a field that I'm very passionate about. And as a mental health provider and an advocate, I have received well over 100 awards from local, state, and national organizations, including the government. And just yesterday, on Sunday, I was notified that I will be receiving one of the SAMHSA, the United States Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration Voices Award, which are awards given to peers and consumers who are creating change in their communities by demonstrating that wellness and recovery are possible and who are contributing to changes through policies and programs and services. So it's a very exciting award to be getting next month in California by the federal government. And it's one thing in the past I've been honored by my peers and colleagues for my work as a mental health provider. It's another thing to come out and say I'm a consumer and I've made all these contributions that you have honored me for before my publications and all. They've been done as me being a consumer as well, not just a provider. So I think, you know, this is going to really shock a lot of people because I don't think I haven't really shared my status with so many people in my life, just with, some select few. So I think this is going to be, very eye-opening for many others and hopefully inspirational because I know that many people who do know of my consumer status have also been very supportive and very inspired by the level of professional and achievements that I have garnered, and I'm really excited about this award.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So how do people access this tool? Where do they go to find it?
It's an easy website, whatsmym3.com.
Okay.
So whatsmym3.com is available. The screening tool is available in both English and Spanish. It's a 3-minute test, 27 questions. I would encourage the listeners to the show to be honest with themselves and answer the questions because the only person you're cheating is yourself. I look back at how many opportunities I've had in my life to be honest with myself about how bad things were getting for me, and I just kept dismissing them or rationalizing it, or, oh, again, this is a bad week, a bad month, and I'll get through this, or I can't afford to do this because I'm not going to be respected or make a living in my career by being open about this. And I find to the contrary that I have been accepted more. You know, over the last couple 3 years, I've had the honor and the privilege of serving on the board of directors for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, which is the nation's largest grassroots advocacy organization. And I had reached the point of serving as the vice president of the board of directors up until 2 weeks ago. And when I finished my 3-year term, and I had gotten so much feedback from people who were just inspired for the work that was being done, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
Well, I'm very glad that we've had this opportunity to hear your story and for you to give hope and encouragement to those who've been afraid to step out and say, I need some help. So thank you for having the courage to do that.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to providing that same inspiration to others to get the help, because help is available, and as I mentioned before, mental illness doesn't discriminate, and help is available if we just ask for it.
Well, let's hope that they do. So thank you so much, Henry.
Sounds
appreciate
great.
It.
Thank you so much, Dr. Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye-bye.
Now it's time to wrap up today's show. You can go to whatsmym3.com to get the survey. Next week, we're going to learn how to change a positive mindset. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.